I actually thought about doing this morning's message over. I had several people tell me how good it was this morning. I thought, well, I'll just do it over again. I mean, take a longer nap this afternoon. Because Richard missed it, and I didn't get done, so. But that's all right. That's all right. If you were to hear the words, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, where would you think you were in the Word of God? Oh, 1 Peter. Oh. Well, you know, there's a lot of descriptions that are really paralleling and stuff. And let's look at Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 1. It says, in the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, and these are words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. You know, we see that same wordage, well, almost, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. What a parallel. God's children and the children of God. The children of Israel and the chosen ones. And you know what? Nothing's changed. Disobedience, rebellion of the nation of Israel caught them in a lot of trouble. I mean, choose to obey or not, and aren't we glad that God is merciful and we don't spend 40 years wandering around in the wilderness because of disobedience to Him? But His chosen people and holy nation. You know, God's not through with Israel. We were in a church last Sunday night about 15 miles from the Mexican border, and a number of the people, have you ever seen the American flag and another country flag next to it? Most of the people in this church were wearing the flag from Israel next to the American flag, and the pastor said every day when he starts his prayer time, he prays for Israel. I'm thinking, pretty cool. God's not done with them. They did not do in Exodus what God wanted them to do. It says in verse 5, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. If you keep my covenant. Well, they didn't. They rebelled, didn't do what they were supposed to, and over and over and over. We've got the complete word. We should see, you know, we should learn from our own mistakes, but we should learn from mistakes that others have made in what they've done or not done according to God's word and learn from that. We are a chosen generation. You know, and we've talked about this before. We're special. You know, well, I think that's what God's word calls us, isn't it? Special people. But not just special people, His own special people. Because we're so good? No. Speaks of God's grace. God didn't choose Israel because they were a great people, but because He loved them. Go to Deuteronomy. We're going to go back and forth a lot. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Starting in verse 7, says, "The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people, but because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." Because the Lord loves you, He chose them. And so often when we're talking about, you know, we accepted Christ. I did. I accepted that free gift. But you know what? What's John 15:16 say? John chapter 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." I didn't choose Him. He chose me. And that's where we get that. I'm special. That's not arrogant. I'm special. God's Word calls me a special person. He chose me. And think about all the people that die and are going to spend eternity separated from God because they refuse to accept that free gift. We don't know who they are, but He chose us to be His special people. We are a holy nation. 1 Peter chapter 2, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We have been set apart to belong exclusively to God. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we didn't do "I'll Fly Away" tonight, Don. I knew that you were going to do that tonight, but you didn't. We're passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. But I was talking to, I don't know if many of you talked to our guest this morning, Steve. One of the last things he said this morning before he left is, you know, as Christians, and I hadn't really thought about it. You've heard that we all leave our carbon footprint. You know, as we go through the world, we leave our carbon footprint. Well, he said we need to leave our Christian footprint. He said people should see us and know that we are Christians by the footprint that we leave. And I put the little light back up here tonight because we are the light of the world. And people need to see that in us. And when we talk about being a special people, it doesn't mean we're crazy. Sometimes we act a little crazy, but we're not crazy people. We're chosen by God to serve Him and give Him the glory. And that's what this morning we talked. Everything that we do and say should bring honor and glory to Him so that footprint that we leave points people to Christ. We're chosen that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness to you don't have to have a glow stick in your pocket, into His marvelous light. The time that we're here on this earth, we need to be that light. Because that's what we're called to do. I'm excited about 2010. We talked a little bit this morning, but I see that 2010 can be a special year for special people to serve the Lord. Stan, did you get a blessing a little while ago from Karen? Yes. Someone, not from our English-speaking congregation, but somebody wrote a very sizable check today to help pay for the painting. You know what? We prayed. Do you remember starting to pray last year at the annual meeting when we laid out projects that we wanted to see God do this year? And two of them, one's done, one's almost done, and they'll be paid for when they're finished. Thank you. I was almost afraid somebody was asleep back there. What a joy to know that we serve a God who there's nothing impossible for Him. I had an opportunity yesterday to talk to some of the students. If y'all are more vertically challenged than me, and it comes to real high stuff, and this is not real high out here, but the students couldn't paint this yesterday, and they said, "We can't do that." What a ministry opportunity to show them that nothing is impossible. It's done. But they said, "We can't do that." What a teaching time. Julie Laubacher said she's seen her kids grow through this painting experience. It was exciting for them to see. I mean, I was thrilled when Ann goes, "I want to paint, Pastor." You know, I mean, really. And to see her over there just doing that detail work very carefully, just working. Nobody was in a hurry. No, you know, if we were paying a painting contractor to do this, we'd want them to hurry a little bit. But to see her over there and these young people watching her do that, what a testimony. What a testimony that is. Anyway, I got a little sidetracked there. God commanded them to put... we are the people of God. And how special that is. And we should remember that every day. You know? We should all... You still have that plate that says, "I'm special"? Somewhere. Oh, well. Every one of us ought to eat every meal off a plate that says, "I'm special." As a reminder that that's what God says we are to Him. We should remember it without seeing a little plate. But in an unsaved condition, we were not God's people. He called us out of that darkness. We belong to Satan. We were condemned to spend eternity separated from God if we did not accept that free gift. And too many people today, this morning we were having a discussion in Sunday school, how will they know if they have not heard? Well, they'll see God through creation, is what the Word of God says. But that does not limit what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be taking those opportunities that God gives us to share with an unsaved world. And we need to take every opportunity that we can. Now that we've trusted Christ, we're part of God's family. We're God's people. We're His special possession. But we can't forget what it cost Him. We just finished Christmas, and pretty soon we're going to be looking at Easter. 2010 is going to be gone before we even know it. It's only the third day, but so that just means 362 days left. But we can't forget that it costs to become a special person. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." You know, we have so many privileges as being part of God's family. But it comes with a responsibility. There's a responsibility. And if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, comes with a responsibility, verse 9. "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness." We are to proclaim His praises wherever we go. You thought about that? We're supposed to tell others. We're supposed to advertise. When we proclaim those praises, we're advertising what Christ did for us. We're telling others about Him. And He gives us so many opportunities, and I think, and I'm guilty too. Sometimes I get in a hurry and just don't take time to realize that I have a sharing opportunity. We need to slow down a little bit. And Steve, the guest this morning says, you know, Stan, Steve and I were talking, and he goes, you know, as a nation, in the United States, we are becoming more and more un-Christian. I mean, the sin is getting worse in this country. We're not sending out missionaries the way we used to do. We're not starting churches the way we used to. We got churches closing every day. I mean, I get stuff in the mail from real estate companies offering churches for sale. Oh, you want to move? You want another building? On a regular basis, and it's not the same church every time they send one of these beautiful full-color mailers out. So there's churches in our community that are shutting down because why? People lost the vision for reaching their community with the gospel of Christ. You know, next month, this time next month, we're going to have Dr. Sanders back with us for a whole week. We need to be inviting people now to come to those services. First week in February. Why? I mean, are we going to do a week of evangelistic meetings and not invite an unsafe person to come? Kind of defeats the purpose of we're doing an evangelistic service, isn't it? For a week. We have... Susan shared this morning, you know, her concern, asked me to pray about some of the kids that are not coming on Sunday anymore, that were coming real faithfully. They've just fallen into a mode of it's not important to them. How sad that people, you know, TV, video games, music, whatever, has turned people off to God. And we get so busy with all the other stuff that we forget to proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness. We are a living advertisement. And we don't need to wear a big shirt And I don't have anything against it. I got most of my t-shirts are witness type t-shirts, but people need to see that we're Christians without a neon sign that flashes, I'm a Christian. I mean, what would it say to the world? Okay? What would it say to the world if we walked around with a little neon sign that says, I'm a Christian? They'd go, you are crazy. You need to be locked up. We're living in enemy territory. People don't want it. People that are living in darkness do not know they have a need for the Savior. And the enemy is constantly watching, trying to trip us up. Like nothing to do nothing more than to trip us up. We must be united as a body. And I've talked about it over and over. And this morning, that group that stood up here, we need to stay united. We need to stay united as a whole body. Have you been, anybody been watching any of the political things that are going on between the Democrats and the Republicans and over all this? You know what? That's what the unsaved world thinks happens in here. You know, we get disgusted with our politicians, but what do non-Christians see when they come into the body?